Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome to Burning Hearts. I'm Pete Burek, filling in for Rachel Herbeck this week. Rachel's out at Pine Hills Girls Camp doing the Lord's work, and we're very grateful for it. If you'd like more information about Pine Hills Girls Camp or Be Love Revolution or any of the other things that we're doing at Renewal Ministries, you can go to renewalministries.net. One of the great One of the great joys, maybe, of going to renewalministries.net is you can get some free things. We have some free booklets. We have some other offerings. We have our YouTube channel. If you just search Renewal Ministries into the search bar, you can get weekly inspirations from Dr. Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck and myself and Rachel and Debbie Herbeck and a whole bunch of other things, our TV show. So many things to offer, so many things that we're excited about, and so many ways to try to build the kingdom and extend the gospel. This week on Burning Hearts, we've been talking about the book of Galatians and different aspects of it. Monday, we talked about freedom and how Paul is trying to shake the Galatians to remember who they really are, to remember what they believe, and not to be tempted by or kind of dissuaded by different teachings and different voices outside of the true gospel. And one of the things I neglected to mention there is one of the ways we stand, as Paul encourages the Galatians, in the truth is to be Catholic, to really remember that the Catholic Church is the perpetuation of everything that Paul is talking about here. If you want to know how to stand in the gospel that Paul preached to the Galatians, is to be Catholic, to stand in the truth that the church has held on to all these centuries. And yes, I recognize there are times in the church, and we may be even in one of them right now, where there's some confusion and there's some different teachings and there's a lack of clarity at times. But now more than ever is the time to double down on driving deep into the heart of what the church has always taught and believing it and getting to know it ourselves, which is one of the reasons why something like Ave Maria Radio is so important, to be able to be formed. But even more so than Ave is you have scripture, you have the catechism, you have the church fathers, you have the doctors of the church. And friends, I know they can be sometimes intimidating, but this is not a time for cowardice. This is not a time to be shy. This is the time to roll our sleeves up and to say, yes, I want to listen to the teaching magisterium of the church. And yes, I want to respect and love our bishops and our priests. And yes, I want to learn from them and follow them. But as a beloved son of God, as a beloved daughter of the King, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, I too can dive into God's word, dive into the catechism, dive into the great church fathers and the doctors of the church, and I can chew on it and let the Lord teach me through those as well. And then yesterday we were talking about being crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives with me. And Paul is making a dramatic kind of description of what it looks like for the old man, the old woman in our desires of the flesh to be destroyed, to be killed so that the new man might live. And he goes on in chapter 5, and so we're here in chapter 5. Finally, I teased it in Monday. It's Wednesday now. We're diving into chapter 5. And Paul makes a very strong juxtaposition between the desires of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And so today we're going to talk about the desires of the flesh, and tomorrow we'll talk about the fruits of the Spirit. So what does Paul say? This is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would." So Paul's saying, within the human heart, there is a war raging. The desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit. And the desires of the flesh were, you know, initially in God's original design before the fall, desires that were made to help us be who we are called to be, you know, to want to give of ourselves for love and to sacrifice and to be in union with others and to have all these different kind of like, there's all these natural desires in us that God in his original design intended in kind of some mysterious way that we don't fully know what the desires of Adam and Eve looked like, right? What does it look like pre-fall for some of these desires to exist? I'm sure there's somebody out there who's written something. I probably should have done the research before I said that. But the point is this, that like these desires have been corrupted through sin, that through original sin, we know that we have concupiscence, which is the inclination to sin. And so we are born into this world and we walk in this world. And even as we are baptized, these desires, this inclination doesn't fully go away. And actually part of the war that we have to, the battle we have to fight is to put to death the old man so that the new man might rise, like we've been talking about. But it's to acknowledge that these desires are there and to overcome them through the Spirit, to not submit to them, but to overcome them, to believe that the power in me is greater than the power in the world, and the power in me through the Holy Spirit is capable of overcoming and subduing and clarifying and purifying and rightly ordering my desires of the flesh so that they might actually be purified and lead to my holiness and my benefit and not to my destruction and not to my slavery. He gives us some examples of what he's talking about. Now, the works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Quite a list. And if I'm being honest, and I think if we're all being honest, as Paul goes through this list, we've probably engaged in most, if not all, of these in some way. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. I haven't done sorcery. Jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. We need to take this seriously. And Paul reminds us how seriously we need to take it by what he says next. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's implied in that is those who do such things without repentance. If you persist in these things, if you don't repent from these things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That these are the behaviors that separate us from God, because they're a cooperation with an old man that has been crucified with Christ that should no longer be there. Or at least should no longer be dominant, that should be subdued, that should be being eliminated. That the light of Christ is shown in the darkness, and the darkness needs to continue to be repelled and driven out. And we could, you know, you could do a week, you could do a day, you could do theses on each of these different things that he lists. But the three that I want to highlight that I think are very important for today's, you know, in today's world, and what we see in society are the first two, immorality and impurity. What Paul's talking about there is sexual sin. And right now in our world, sexual sin is rampant. And not only is it pervasive, but it's celebrated. It's actually held up as a good. Whether that's fornication, whether that's masturbation, lust, homosexual behavior. The one that's interesting that still kind of gets people is adultery. You know, there was that famous thing that happened not that long ago at the Coldplay concert, and that couple got publicly, you know, revealed to be in an adulterous relationship. And it was interesting to watch how the morality of the world all of a sudden shifted on that. And it was like, well, that's clearly bad. But fornication and sleeping around and all these other things, all these other sexual sins, they're not bad. Or they're okay. That's just freedom. That's the evolved mind. That society actually holds it up as good. It's celebrated. You're actually can be heroic in some ways if you're able to have the right number of sexual partners and the right amount of sexual freedom. But Paul's saying here that sexual sin, living outside of God's created order for the sexual act, which is one man and one woman in the context of marriage. Outside of that, that is the behavior. That is behavior that could lead us to hell. if we don't repent. And that's part of the old man. Lust is part of the old man that needs to be destroyed. That the desire for those things may emerge at times. You may be on the computer and see something and be tempted, or you may be walking down the street and be tempted, or you may be in a friendship and be tempted, or you may be even in a committed relationship and be tempted. It's not the temptation. We can't necessarily control the temptation. When the desire, the concupiscence flares to say, I want that, we can't necessarily control that it emerge, but what we can control is how we respond to it. And in the spirit, the response is to put to death that desire, to choose Jesus, to choose his created order for those things, which speaks to the next one that I want to highlight, which is idolatry. You might be saying, Pete, I don't see many golden calves that people are worshiping. And I'd say, let's look a little closer. I think there is a tremendous amount of idolatry in the world right now. There's a tremendous amount of worship and obedience, kind of unhealthy obedience and worship to political figures, to sports teams, to our comfort, to entertainment, to money, all sorts of things. And what's crazy about the human experience is that basically anything can become an idol. We can put almost darn near anything above the Lord and worship it. And give it attention. And our time and our talent and our treasure is directed towards that thing first instead of God. And it doesn't mean that it's even a bad thing. Like, you know, I'm a huge Michigan football fan. I love Michigan football. But it could become an idol. I could worship that time on Saturday. I could listen to those podcasts incessantly. I could, my time and how I dress and how I talk and who I evangelize. You got to be fans of Michigan football. I could give my life over to that sport and to that team. And we have season tickets. We go to most of the games, and I'm not standing in judgment, but I'm just observing that there are a lot of people who seem as though something like Michigan football is an idol. Money, comfort, pleasure, fame, particular human beings are all possible of stand kind of being in the place of primacy in our heart. And then the last one that I think I want to highlight just for today is Paul, when he says party spirit. What does he mean by party spirit? It means that spirit that says you are over there and I'm over here, and us and them mentality. Like, not so much party as like let's go have a good time, but party as in we're grouping off, cliques, separation from each other. That I actually have imbibed in a spirit of like, I'm over here and you're over there, and that's the way it should be, and I should not have to have any love or compassion for you. So the desires of the flesh in Galatians 5, read them, ask the Holy Spirit to convict you of them, but in particular, look and ask about immorality, idolatry, and a party spirit, and repent if that's where you find yourself. And I'm going to do the same. So that the old man might die and the new man might come alive in Christ. This has been Burning Hearts with Rachel Herbeck. I'm Pete Breck. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.